the Democrats flatly opposed federal intervention. In this respect, the Democratic Party was more like modern-day Republicans, and the Whigs, Republicans, were closer to modern Democrats. As the convention convened, the weather was unseasonably warm following recent snows. The delegates and party officials noisily began taking seats in the cavernous church sanctuary as the morning sunlight streamed through stained glass windows. A gentleman's business dress of the day was a cutaway suit coat, a vest, and tight trousers. A large, scarf-like cravat was tied around the removable high collar of a white linen shirt. Men usually were clean-shaven, but with longish hair that flowed into lengthy sideburns. The convention began promptly at noon, and delegates chose former Virginia Governor James Barber to preside. For the first time at a presidential convention, newspaper reporters were invited to take seats on the convention floor. The Whigs were desperate to find an electable nominee to break the Democratic Party's 12-year grip on the White House, where President Martin Van Buren now resided. It was a time of turmoil both at home and abroad. In America, slavery was an increasingly divisive issue. The independent Republic of Texas was clamoring to become a state, but it faced opposition in the North because it would be a slave state. U.S. troops were still battling Seminole Indians in the Florida Territory. Under President Jackson, more than 15,000 Cherokees had been sent west from Georgia, the Carolinas, and Tennessee to land that would become Oklahoma. During the forced march, more than 4,000 Native Americans died along the Trail of Tears. Tensions were rising with Great Britain, where young Queen Victoria was about to wed her cousin, Prince Albert of Germany. British sailors were boarding and searching American vessels in Africa. Meanwhile, Spain was demanding the return of the runaway slaves who revolted, killed the captain, and took over the Spanish schooner Amistad near Cuba. After the United States took the slaves into custody off the coast of New England, American abolitionists went to court to try to get the slaves freed and returned to Africa. The case was pending in the U.S. Supreme Court, where the slaves were being represented by former President John Quincy Adams, now a 72-year-old Massachusetts congressman. Much of Europe was in an economic nosedive, and the fallout had spread to the states, where the economy was down and unemployment was way up. Voters were in a mood for change, if only the Whigs could find the right nominee. Balloting at the convention was by secret vote, with the totals tallied by a grand committee. Sure enough, Clay led his two rivals on the first ballot and a second one. But at 103 votes, he was still short of the 138 needed for nomination. Behind the scenes, some Whig leaders began buttonholing delegates in smoke-filled hotel rooms, lobbies, and bars. Clay couldn't win a national election, they suggested, because he had too many political enemies. In addition, as a slaveholder himself, his outspoken backing of slave states would cost him too many votes in the North. Maybe it was time to consider an alternative candidate for the good of the party. But which one? In his meetings with delegates, 42-year-old Thurlow Weed, New York's Whig Party boss who controlled the state's large delegation, urged other states to get behind the Empire State's choice. That was General Scott, who lived in New York City. Weed, a newspaper publisher from Albany, was known as the Jolly Drummer because of his convivial and persuasive personality. The tall, dark-haired New Yorker's negotiating style was to filter in and out of hotel lobbies and drinking establishments, cajoling delegates with what one New York reporter described as all the energy and cunning of Satan when he tempted Eve to sin. Meantime, meeting with delegates in his hotel room, Thaddeus Stevens, Pennsylvania's most powerful politician, lobbied for General Harrison. In contrast to the smooth-talking Weed, Stevens was a rude and crude bachelor from Gettysburg with the personality of a grouchy bear. The 47-year-old lawyer walked with a limp caused by a club foot he had since birth. A childhood disease also led to the loss of his hair. He wore a bad chestnut-colored wig to cover his bald head. Stevens, believing that he had been promised a cabinet